Neighbors can make or break your quality of life. While moving to a tight-knit, well-kept block can bring a sense of peace and safety, living next door to an abandoned property can result in unending stress. In Pennsylvania, there's a blight-busting law designed to help residents who find themselves in the second category. And it applies to all kinds of buildings, even if they're owned by the government. WHYY's Aaron Mozell explains.
When Rita Storbrock's daughter showed her the house she wanted to buy in Bridesburg, the retired realtor had immediate concerns. Sure, the brick twin with space for a mother-in-law suite was a good fit. And the neighborhood, a quiet residential corner of Northeast Philly, was tidy and safe. But the building next door? Storbrock had big problems with it. It was clearly abandoned and in bad shape. She says she tried to warn her daughter.
How can you buy a house attached to that? It's a pigsty. You don't want that. Oh, but she loved the layout of this particular house.
When Storbrock moved in with her daughter a couple years later, the property next to them was still a mess. There were boarded up doors, sprawling weeds around the perimeter, and a busted in front window on the first floor. Storbrock says the place was a haven for all kinds of wildlife.
We had a rodent problem. We had possums and raccoons in our backyard who got into my daughter's shed in the backyard and destroyed half of her stuff in there.
She tried to do something about the situation. The property owner was unresponsive, and so she reached out to city and elected officials for help. But she says no one seemed to take the situation seriously, including the Department of Licenses and Inspections.
I went to L&I department at least 15 times, in person and on the phone, and I got the same reaction each and every time. Okay, well, we'll look into it. It went on and on and on, and it never got any work done.
This went on for years until Storbrock connected with a nonprofit now called Rebuilding Blocks. With the help of a real estate attorney provided by the organization and Storbrock's testimony, the group took control of the dilapidated property following a lengthy legal battle. The group has since sold the building to a developer who started working on renovations last month. And as you can imagine, Storbrock is thrilled. After 5 years of fighting, she feels the building is finally in good hands.
He's restoring the entire property outside and inside, and he's going to keep it and he's going to rent it out. So it's an investment to him. It's a big investment. I mean, this is a money-making property.
The change was possible thanks to a Pennsylvania law enacted well over a decade ago. It's commonly known as Act 135, and it's designed to provide a mechanism for neighbors, nonprofits, and municipalities to revitalize abandoned and blighted properties in their communities. While some opponents say the law has unjustly targeted property owners and gentrifying neighborhoods, the measure has provided relief to hundreds of homeowners in Philly who would otherwise have no recourse to deal with problem properties in their neighborhood.
I've had ones that have been infested with pigeons and other vermin, squatters, hoarder houses. You name it. I think over the years, we've seen pretty much most conditions imaginable.
Rick Vanderslice is a real estate attorney who represented Storbrock. He says about 70% of his Act 135 cases involve residential properties. The rest are generally commercial. But there are other less common categories of cases. In the Germantown section of Philadelphia, neighbors are hoping Act 135 can save a crumbling neighborhood landmark. Unlike most of the buildings in Vanderslice's cases, which are privately held, the Germantown YWCA is owned by the city. It's right next to a public park near the commercial heart of the neighborhood, and it's historic, dating back more than a century. It's been empty for decades, slowly falling apart before neighbors' eyes. Renee Cunningham has worked behind the vacant building for nearly 25 years. She directs a senior center and says she constantly worries about someone getting hurt.
What we have the most interaction with is the side of the building and the back of the building. And you can see that the water is just eroding the bricks. It's the mortar in between the bricks. It has come loose. In some cases, it's missing. It would be easy to just pick the bricks right out of the wall.
In 2016, the city selected an Ohio-based developer to revitalize the four-story property, but the company is still seeking funding for its $18 million plan to use the property for apartments and some commercial space. In the meantime, longtime resident Irv Acklesberg says the Y remains a symbol of neglect instead of a neighborhood asset, a troubling eyesore weighing down a struggling commercial corridor.
Isn't it, you know, a shameful situation where a private citizen has to sue the city to get the city to take responsibility for an important historic building that the city owns and has allowed to remain in a vacant, abandoned, you know, nuisance kind of state for a long time?
Real estate developer Ken Weinstein is bringing the case against the city. The city is not commenting on the case right now because it's in litigation, but argues it's been anything but negligent when it comes to the Y. If a judge sides with Weinstein, he could become the building's conservator under Act 135. Such a ruling would enable him to fix up the property and potentially sell it to a new developer. He's estimated the building needs about $130,000 just in exterior upgrades. Weinstein agrees with Acklesberg. It shouldn't have come to this, but he says he sees no other way at this point.
This is why Act 135 exists, to bring commercial property owners to the table to force them to do the right thing. It shouldn't be necessary in the case of the city of Philadelphia. We are taxpayers. City of Philadelphia should be representing our interests, and they're not in this case.
And yet Vanderslice, the attorney, doesn't expect the city will see a flood of Act 135 petitions.
Is it going to be a one-off? Probably not. Is it going to become common? I don't think so either. I think, you know, when the circumstances are right, people will probably use the act to effect a change on a historic property or property that means a lot to the community.
It could be months before a judge makes a ruling in the case. Aaron Moselle, WHYY News.